here's a likely house. Gather round. Got your carol sheet?
Ahem. Ready? Here's your candle.
Right, then. After three. One, two,
seven.
Silent night.
Again brings to the Holly and Ivy Deck microphone the various but limited talents of Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Ken, the Bilotti for a Christmas show, which you'll not be surprised to hear is called...
Good evening. I'm not boring you, am I? Good evening. I'm sorry I'll read that.
Again, Christmas show!
Time, presents, and good food. But at this time, when we're all enjoying ourselves so very, very much, let's just think for a moment about those less fortunate than ourselves.
But what a Christmas at the BBC.
This is a recorded announcer, since all the BBC staff are off on their Christmas holidays. This is a recorded announcer. This is a recorded announcer.
But what Christmas at the BBC? But what a Christmas at the BBC?
We are sorry for this slight technical. We are sorry for this slight technical. We are sorry for this slight technical.
Well, we seem to be having a little trouble. Well, we seem to be having a little trouble.
Here, what a radio is going. Well, you know, brethren, I think that only goes to show that jolly wonderful, jolly, jolly wonderful, though science is, there are some things machines can't do. Come to think of it, they're much the same things that I can't do either. But on my way here today, I was considering the real meaning of Christmas. And I thought, if I were not a vicar, I think I'd like to be the Director General of the BBC. That rhymes. And then I'd say, right, Christmas holidays cancelled. All back. Come on, hurry up. Stand by all night.
Oh, gee, thanks, Reverend. You certainly saved our bacon that time.
Think nothing of it, my son. All part of a day's work for Super Parson.
Super Parson! Super Parson!
Look, he's taken off his dog collar.
He's taken off his cassock. He's entirely naked. Is it a bird?
No, not by the look of things. No.
But what a Christmas at the BBC.
Christmas, when friends and families like to come together, but at this time when most of us are enjoying companionship, let us say something to those who are missing.
Where are you?
But what a Christmas at the BBC.
You're getting very good at that line. Each program will have a Christmas flavor.
Tastes like reindeer stew.
Yes. The programs will remain the same, only the titles have been changed to prove it's Christmas. Now let's just run over the schedule.
Schedule.
Have you got a broken schedule?
Yes, I have.
Don't throw it away. Phone Brook Taylor's day and night schedule repairs. We fix garden schedules, potting schedules, labor provide, dance courses for water schedules.
Use Brook Taylor for the schedule, love.
excuse me, I believe the correct pronunciation of that word is schedule.
No. No, no, no.
It is, you know.
I'm ruined. Ruined. My whole business is a disaster. I've got a wife and a new baby to support. I can't. I'm going to end it all.
No, I'm wrong. It is scheduled.
What are the BBC doing to make this a really memorable Christmas?
Closing down? We're certainly going to give you Christmas broadcasting you'll remember from last year or the year before.
Christmas, a time for the traditional Christmas fare. Plum duffs, mince pies, roast potatoes, and dead turkeys.
And here is that lovable Yuletide character, the man who makes sure a Christmas bird arrives on your table plump, ready to eat, and well and truly dead. The old turkey strangler.
When noses glow and snow do snow and the Christmas bells he's jangling, with a grab and a grip and a pull and a zip, flies out the turkey strangling.
Very efficient, can you show us that again, slowly?
The way I enjoy it. Pull, heave, twist. Of course, this can take hours. So to save time, I've got one over here half strangled.
Couldn't you use less violent methods?
No! I get bored. Anyway, I do sometimes use psychological slaughter, you know.
What's that?
Well, you take a live turkey home, pluck it, open all the windows, and then open the oven door. And it jumps in to keep warm.
Or,
then again,
yes?
I can just strangle them, because that's more fun.
Come here. That's more fun. True words, indeed.
Get your clothes on.
Christmas is a time for fun.
Where's this dog collar go?
Not there. But though Christmas is a time when young folks like to let their hair down.
Coming down!
Oh, let me down again. Sorry. For the old folk, it's a time for nostalgia, when they like to put their feet on the mantelpiece, drop their wooden legs in a basket, unship their false arms, unbuckle their tin chest, take out their false teeth, unscrew their glass eyes, and throw their minds back to Christmases of yesteryear.
Christmas isn't what it used to be.
Not what it used to be.
Not what it used to be.
What was it then? Easter.
Easter. Damned inconvenience. The hens couldn't lay the Easter eggs. Too damn cold. Frozen stiff.
Damn fine hens we had then. Not like these modern long-haired hens. these modern hens, they have to have their eggs warmed up before they lay on them.
Oh, we had really cold winters in those days.
Oh, yes, did we have winter?
Did we have winter?
Did we have winter?
We didn't have winter.
It was too cold.
Too cold.
It was too cold. They used to camp all December, January, and February.
We always had a white Christmas.
Always a white Christmas.
Every year.
If it didn't snow, I went out with a brush and painted it white.
And didn't it snow?
Yes.
Every year. 20 feet deep.
And it never melted.
Never melted.
When I got it snowed in my house, I used to climb out of the chimney and build a new house on top. 37 houses I built, one on top of the other. Then they started these atom bomb tests. Snow melted. There I was. In me bed, 700 feet up. Got run over by an airplane. Oh, well, I better go and put on my false nose and long white beard.
Why, you playing Father Christmas?
Yeah, I'm wanted by the police.
Hello!
Sorry I'll Read It Again presents this year's special Christmas production, the classic tale by Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't that be a Christmas carol?
No. Now, a carrot is something you eat. Eat comes from fire. Fire burns. Burns with the poet. Poet, right, left. Left, out, house. House, warming, pan. Pan, cake, tin. Tin, mine, yours. There, thou. Thou, your father, Christmas. Therefore, carrot equals Christmas. But I think you're right, it should be a Christmas carol. Anyway, we're going to do a Christmas carrot for that.
A Christmas carrot.
Our tale begins in a dingy office somewhere in London. Sitting at a desk is a wicked old miser, Scrooge. Scrooge is an evil-looking man with piggy eyes, beetle brows, a hawk nose and pig's trotters. His father had run the lost property office at London Zoo.
I am Scrooge. I am Scrooge.
I am Scrooge.
Hang on. What do you think you're doing?
We're the three Scrooges.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, you're not. There's only one Scrooge in this story. It's the best part, and I'm the producer, so Baggy, I'm Scrooge.
That's not fair, Baggy. I want to be Scrooge.
Get back, you mutinous dogs, I'll see you, sir.
You'll do what I tell you.
Oh, look at his great big jacket.
His black leather mask.
His big steel helmet.
His whip.
Oh, do you like the gear then?
Oh, yeah.
Right then. I play Scrooge. Joke and tell the story.
She's a rotten girl. You
know much cop as a fella, right?
Well, come on, get on with it.
For Christmas Eve in London, the weather was foul and murky, and nothing was heard but the sound of a bird.
Excuse me, get any throttle in the church.
Boom! Yes, it was Christmas Eve, but Scrooge and his clerk, Bob Cratchit, were still hard at work. Poor Bob. Scrooge used him cruelly.
Cratchit!
But it's not itchy.
Cratchit! It's time you went off!
It's Christmas time!
I don't believe in Christmas, Cratchit. Here's your wages. One brand new decimalized seven-sided souther button.
Yes, work for this. How can a man live on wages like these? What sort of Christmas will it be for me poor wife and our five little jockeys?
I don't care. I'm mean. I'm rotten. I'm horrible. I'm overacting.
And you've got what you deserve.
Where do you find a feeling? Get out.
When Scratchit had gone, Scrooge was alone.
That's true. That is very, very true. To think about it, it's very true.
Scrooge was a lonely man. So lonely, in fact, that he talked to the furniture and gave them all names. So he said goodnight to Wilfred the chair and lady table. Then put his feet up on Dennis the Fourth, and finally finally lit a fire in Alfred the Great. Then it was time for bed. Scrooge drank a nightcap, ate his slippers, and soon fell asleep.
But in the middle of the night, Scrooge was awakened by a strange noise.
Oh, oh, Scrooge.
Slowly, the door creaked open. And there, on the threshold, stood a strange, mysterious figure, dressed in a large box and wrapping paper tied up with a ribbon.
Who are you?
Can't you guess? I think you have guessed. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Hello, hello, hello. Why do I always get the worst line?
What a dreadful visitation. It must have been a ghastly dream. I never could have drunk that nightcap.
Why not?
It went straight to me head.
Oh, I don't get all the worst lines.
But soon Scrooge was once more asleep. But he was not to sleep for long. Once more, the door creaked open. This time, in the doorway stood a dreadful figure, a hideous grin upon its face, and in its hand, the awful Book of Reckoning.
Scrooge, this is your life.
No! No, not that!
Listen, Scrooge, do you recognize this voice?
Scrooge! Scrooge! They're all at it! But wait, you know that voice? It's Zebedee! Mm-hmm. My old business partner, Zebedee Six Trombones!
Oh. If I'd known that was my name, I wouldn't have bothered to come back.
Hi, Scrooge, it is I. But Zebedee, you've been dead these last 10 years.
True, and now I'm a ghost.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, sorry, I spoke.
All night long, Scrooge was disturbed by awful visitors. Every one of them bent... bent on showing him something he'd never seen before.
Oh, yes, yes.
The true spirit of Christmas. When he woke next morning, he was a new person.
Good heavens, I'm Gladys Ramsticker.
But soon he felt himself again.
No, I'm not Gladys Ramsticker.
He threw open the window, and the bells chiming across the rooftops told him it was Christmas morning.
Ding dong, ding dong. Hark at what song, and rejoice for. Tis Christmas morn.
Ning. 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 Nang.
Scrooge popped his head out of the window. The snow fell in a thick blanket. But it was Christmas Day, and Scrooge felt at peace with the world. Then he saw, hopping along his windowsill, a little robin redbreast. With a smile, Scrooge fetched a loaf of bread. Then when he'd finished his robin sandwich... he spat out the beak and listened to the sounds of the city outside his window. He heard the shouts of the street sellers.
Street! Street! Oh, a lovely street! Golden ceiling! Street!
And from afar came a cry of the hot chestnut man.
Oh, burn me chestnuts!
Meanwhile, at Bob Cratchit's home, it was a miserable Christmas. Bob and his wife were unhappy, and their 5 little jockeys were in tears.
Oh,
as Martha Scratchit sat weeping, up came the smallest and most popular of their five little jockeys, the happy, smiling little figure of Tiny Tim.
Decorations, a Christmas tree, and a hamper crammed with food and wine.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Scratchit,
said Scrooge, handing her the bill for £37.10. But soon the Christmas festivities were in full swing, thanks to Scrooge. Food and wine were served for all, and before long Scrooge was enjoying the traditional Christmas goose.
Oh, how dare you!
Pardon, ma'am, but who are you?
I'm Auntie Constance Scratchit. I was farting and I thought I'd just pop in for a second. Possibly a third and a plucker.
To everyone's delight, Auntie Constance had two enormous Christmas puddings.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And careful where you put that holly.
Madam, where do you come from?
Oh, I run the old curiosity shop.
Then you must be the old curiosity.
Correct. And if you'd like to satisfy your curiosity, shop around for a bit.
Oh, let me kiss you under the mistletoe.
Kiss me under any toe you'd like to kiss. Don't stop there.
Now that's enough of that, Mr. Scrooge.
It's not nearly enough. Shut up, Penny.
Pick up yourself, Fatty.
Oh, I'm not fat. I've just got a small head.
You're fat and you're old and you're ugly.
Nonsense, I'm 29 and I'm very well preserved.
Aye. Well, I can see you're pickled.
No.
Come now, ladies, it's Christmas. It's Christmas.
Why not, Mr. Scrooge? And as a token of our affection, please accept this present from us all.
What can I say? I'm quite overcome.
Oh, how kind.
Here, let me unwrap it. Wait a minute. I think I know what it is.
You certainly deserve it.
Oh, no, it's
Needy through flowers, milk,
listening to A Christmas Mess. I'm sorry, I'll read it again. A Christmas Message from Timbuk Taylor, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kennan, and Bilotti. In the unavoidable absence of Charles Dickens, the words were written by Graham Garden and Bilotti, and in the unavoidable absence of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, the music was written by Bilotti, arranged by Leon Cohen, and played by Dave Lee and the boys. The program was produced by David Hatch in the unavoidable absence of Peter Sitheridge. And now, in the unavoidable absence of you-know-who, all together now,
it's I'm Sorry I'll Read It Again!
Yay!
gentlemen.